Chase McCabe, 1025-1063, The Game, live today. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace will be out at training camp. Practice underway right now. Had to do some suit things today, so check in on some things going on out at practice. I know Teron's been posting a little bit. Let's see. Titans have Kyle Phillips, Karis Jackson, Tajay Spears, Hassan Haskins, Reggie Roberson, Eric Gehrer, backfield and kickoffs. I put that out there. Looks like Corey Levin, Luke Gifford, not out today, and Tierre Tart is back after missing yesterday. So we'll play a little bit. The coordinators talked today. So Craig Aukerman, Shane Bowen, Tim Kelly all talked today. We'll play a little bit of all three coming up in just a little bit in case you missed that. Tim Kelly is the one that I'm the most interested in hearing from, obviously putting in the new offense as he takes over as offensive coordinator. Some texters on Ryan Tannehill and the quarterback tiers. Nobody forgives him because when he threw those interceptions against the Bengals, he slammed all of our fingers in the window of opportunity. I've never felt as bad as I did leaving that game. I think that's the general consensus, that people just aren't over that because of the opportunity they had as the one seed, and even all the injuries that they faced. And, you know, Henry had been out most of the season. He ends up coming back for that game, which I will say, I mean, you know, if we're going to hold on to things, I mean, I think Mike Vrabel might have mismanaged the run game a little bit in that game because Derek clearly wasn't 100%. So making him the focal point, I don't think was the right move. Another texter says, I think Tannehill gets screwed just for having Derek Henry on the team. If he didn't have Henry, I bet Tannehill would have 280-plus passing a game. Why the hell would he throw 300 yards with King Henry? I bet Josh Allen wouldn't throw 300 yards with Derrick Henry behind him. That's an interesting point of view. I don't know if that's true or not, because are you going to have – I mean, now with Treylon Burks and DeAndre Hopkins, maybe that's true. But last year he wouldn't have done that with that receiving group. I mean, with Woods and a rookie Burks that, you know, was hurt. A.J. Brown, maybe. But I don't know. That's an interesting point of view.
Yeah, because, I mean, last year Robert Woods, I think, had a career low in receiving yards around like 530-plus, something like that. I mean, that's – yeah, that is an interesting take. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah. I mean, his stats might be better, but I think overall Derek has made this team the best. I mean, he's been the focal point for them. I mentioned Will Levis in evaluating him to this point. You know, some of the talk yesterday in training camp, first day of pads, was Will Levis looked pretty darn good. And he is, I guess, technically getting third-team reps right now. But Mike Vrabel talked about how Levis handles the ups and downs of training camp.
How is Will kind of managing the ups and downs of this kind of rookie start, and how do you think he did today?
I thought there were some good balls. I thought there were some good decisions down in the red zone. I thought he delivered the ball with some accuracy, tried to push it down the field, and you know, work the concepts that we had going in today just in the red zone. So, you know, take it day by day. There's going to be some good days. There's going to be some bad days, and you know, learn from them and keep progressing. But I thought, you know, offensively, at least from the quarterback position, we got, you know, some pretty good work today. They were able to extend some plays or, you know, take off and run in the red zone, which, you know, we have to be great at defensively, as these quarterbacks that we play against are athletic. And, you know, the reward for taking off in a red zone is a touchdown. So, you know, we have to be great on our rush lanes and be able to affect the quarterback, but, you know, not you know, give up lanes where Malik took off today and Ryan took off once too.
Tight spaces of the red zone maybe favorable for his quick release, Wills?
You know, I mean, I hope that the accuracy and the decision making, you know, being on time, and then certainly that the release, anytime that you can, you know, get rid of the football and make it accurate, that's always going to help.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday on Will Levis. And, you know, this quarterback competition, but the backup quarterback competition is obviously a fun one to watch right now. And I'm glad that there is one. I'm glad that Malik Willis has made this a competition. I mean, ultimately, you know, even though I kind of had the hot take that Willis could start the year as the two, and maybe they do that because they don't. And the reason that I brought that up is you don't have to have Levis be the backup. Like, Willis hit the field last year because Tannehill got hurt. I don't want to see Levis touch the field this year. I want to see him on the sideline holding a clipboard. That's one with the earpiece in. And whether he's showing flashes right now, great. Do it again. Be consistent. Don't rush it. Be consistent. And Vrabel and Tim Kelly, Charles London, they're not gonna rush it. But I love that you're getting good reports early in camp. That you can tell that, you know, maybe what he was not very good at in OTAs and minicamp, you know, he's worked on during the downtime, and now he's come back to training camp and you see improvement. It's like, okay, that's good. That's what I want to see. Now, if Malik Willis is the backup quarterback to start the year, I don't think that's the end of the world because it gives Will Levis time not to worry about it. Now, you want him to get the reps, but, you know, if we're being truthful here, you don't want to see either of those guys get into the games this year. Because if that happens, then, you know, we're having a different conversation. I mean, you know, like last year.
Exactly. You know, I mentioned, I think, last week or the week before, Chase, about Titans training camp. Once the quarterbacks or whatever position gets their pads on those shoulders, we're going to know who's going to make progression and who isn't. Who's going to be separated from the boys and the men. And, I mean, from what the coordinators and coaches have all said, they're showing signs of progression, both of them, which is a good thing to know and a good thing to hear. So on that note, it takes the pressure off of Will Levis mm-hmm. to have to really, you know, over excel on those, I guess, goals that fans, Titans fans, and also coaches want him to hit. Like you just said it. Yes, hit those goals, but at the same time, take the pressure off a little bit. Just take it a slow process. Hold the clipboard.
Here was Will Levis on good day, on having a good day and having confidence.
I know there's always daily ups and downs, Will, but still, anytime like you have a day like today where you had the back-to-back-to-back TD passes, nice little boost of confidence, make you feel like you're making some strides.
Yeah, I mean, every time, like I missed a throw over the middle the other day, it's like you don't think about it, but then you end up going back and rewatching it for the dozenth time that night and figuring out, like, hey, what could I have done better just to make that throw not happen the next time? And you're an NFL quarterback. You're never supposed to miss that throw, you know? But then you come out and you get some string some good plays together and you regain that confidence. And I think that definitely, you know, helped me a little bit.
You know, it's funny. When I listen to, you know, clips like that and then Vrabel talk about him, you know, in his first training camp as a rookie, you know, I kind of think about, all right, what's going to be the conversation a year from now? What's going to be the conversation 2 years from now? Three, four, you know, is he still on this team 4 years from now? Or is he a franchise quarterback? You know, are we talking about him in the same breath as some of the, you know, these tier one guys? You know, when the tiers comes out, you know, here in a couple of years, where is he? I don't know. I think that's the honest answer right now is we have no idea. But it's fun to watch him grow right now. It's fun to watch Malik Willis, you know, continue to grow. And you know, if I'm Ryan Tannehill, like I know my spot right now, but you know, I kind of pay attention too, because they may see enough in this training camp, you know, barring any kind of like a Super Bowl win or something like that, that they go, okay, we feel confident turning the keys over to the young kids and letting Ryan move on. But it's still very, very early in that process. But I think it's fun to think about, like, you know, are we talking about Will Levis in a different breath here in a year or two, you know, as the franchise guy that the Titans have coveted for so long? Time will certainly tell. I know that one thing that I've seen out of him, too, is you can tell that there's been, and he talked about it there, of making certain throws that you have to make as an NFL quarterback. Mike Vrabel was asked yesterday about how Levis has done putting a little more touch on his passes.
How do you think Will Levis has done in terms of making a mistake and then going over it, whether it's with the film or in the meeting room, and then coming back out and working on whatever the mistake was the first time?
I mean, I think everybody does that, you know, and that's what we ask them to do, whether it's, you know, Ryan today had one behind, you know, D-Hop. And so, you know, he'll come out tomorrow and spot a couple of those throws up to DeAndre. Will's going to do the same thing with the things that, you know, Timmy and Charles and Pat will talk to him about this afternoon. And Malik will do the same thing. So I think they all, you know, everybody I think is coachable. I think that's something that I love about this team is that they are coachable. We're going to try to coach as much as we can and then, you know, get them to the game and let them go.
A classic Mike Vrabel answer, though, doesn't want to answer about the individual, so he lumps them all together when the question was clearly about an individual and it was Will Levis. And it's just like there are times where I'm like, Mike, just answer the question. Or just say I don't want to answer the question. Like, just, you know, but, you know, you could tell with there was the pause and there was the, you know, that he, because he doesn't like to make it about individuals, but I don't think there was anything wrong with the question. Jared was asking specifically, and it was complimenting of, hey, when you see him do something, what stands out about how he handles the mistake? There's nothing wrong with that question, but he has to lump everybody together because that's what Mike does, and that's his prerogative as the head coach. Coming up next is today, practice going on right now, the most important day at camp so far. And I'll tell you why I'm asking that question. Coming up next, Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Mike, we see the 2 hours out here when you're with everybody. What do you try to, what are the most important things you want to try to accomplish on the other hours of the day when you guys are all in the building?
Continue to move through with the installation. You know, tomorrow we'll start to, you know, we'll give them a script tonight. And understand that, you know, excuse me, give them a game plan, like a mock game plan, like, okay, this is what we're going to have up. You know, we've got 5 days in installation. Not all those plays will be up. Go home, study these plays. These are the plays in the first and second down, different personnel. So this will be our third down package. And starting to understand that and see how they respond tomorrow to not having a script and looking at it in the morning and knowing, oh, I got this play. I'm lining up here. I think this is going to be a huge day for us that we had today, which was great, and then tomorrow, you know, taking that next step of going out and just playing the game, coming from the sideline. That's what we'll probably do tonight, and then obviously moving on to the other situations later in the week.
Mike Vrabel after practice yesterday about what he wants his team to do when they're not on the practice field. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hey, 102.5, The Game has your chance to win single-day passes to the Bourbon and Beyond Festival in Louisville, Kentucky, Thursday, September 14th through Sunday, September 17th. Just text in the word KEYS, K-E-Y-S, now to 615-737-1025 for your chance to win a pair of passes to the Saturday show that features, you guessed it, the Black Keys, the Black Crows, and the Avett Brothers, and more. So do that now. Text KEYS to 615-737-1025 for your chance to win. Before I get to what Mike Vrabel just said, looking through Twitter, about 10 minutes ago, Teron Davenport said, a little extracurricular after practice, Jeffrey Simmons and Jamarco Jones get together after the play. Ben Arthur follows up. Simmons and Jones were instructed to leave the field. Simmons off to the side. Jones headed inside. So there you go. Jeffrey Simmons is, Teron just put this out there. Jeffrey Simmons is still working in the sand pit after his pushing match with Jamarco Jones. The DTs are now Jaden Peavy and Tyler Shelvin. So Jeffrey Simmons sentenced to the sand pit. There you go. Mike Vrabel made it pretty clear.
I can't help but laugh.
Them's the rules.
I love it.
But you know what? Like, if anybody, like, I'm glad it's him. Like, pissed off for greatness. I like that. And Jamarco Jones, I mean, that's another guy when we talk about the offensive line. You know, they signed him last year that we don't really know anything about because he was hurt. So you want some of that tenacity. You don't want to cross the line, but you want a little of that tenacity, and Jeffrey Simmons finds himself in the sandpit. So there you go. Them's the rules. Them's the rules, Nick. Can't forget those. But Mike Vrabel said, you know, they're going to do a mock game plan. And, you know, kind of been reading through Twitter, you know, with the team period that they have going on, I wanted to see how guys responded to that. How much homework were they doing? Were they ready to go? And I'm sure Vrabel will address some of that, that you could tell who knew what was going on, who still has work to do, you know, how they were able to do that, because the install period of all the plays, which is what they're going through right now, is extremely important. And then finding out how quickly you can install certain things, because, you know, even though the offense, for instance, has changed, it's going to be a little more up tempo. You know, they've been putting some stuff in since the spring, but there's still concepts and plays that they've done in the past. And so some things are going to be quicker than others, but you want to see how, you know, retention is and how quickly some of these guys can master, you know, the plays and what they're trying to do. So that's why I kind of looked at today, you know, as, all right, first test at that. Let's see what it looks like. And, you know, based on what I've read, I mean, there's been obviously some good and some bad. But that stuff, I mean, how quickly you can master something is very, very important. Tier Tart is going to join Caroline Willie and D-Mace after practice today. So one of my favorites, looking forward to that, as he is he's a player that I think he's going to get paid quite a bit this year, and I hope it's here. But so Tier Tart will join Caroline Willie and D-Mace when practice is done. So when I mentioned the retention and, you know, where this team is at and how quickly they can master things, it all goes into, you know, how they're going to combat this schedule. I did a couple of radio hits. You know, we're doing our team previews. Other radio stations around the country are doing team previews about what are the Titans. And, you know, the national narrative continues to be the Titans aren't going to be very good. And obviously me being here and watching it, I'm like, I wouldn't go that, you know, I wouldn't. Not so fast, my friend, because the schedule is favorable. Not going to say it's easy. Not going to say it's weak. It's favorable. I just said, you know, in the Superbook read, they have the win total at 7.5, but the juice is to the over at -120. I think they hit that over. I mean, 9-10 wins to me is not out of the realm of possibility. And so, you know, I feel like I can back that up more. Like if I see a team that, you know, they're installing stuff and they're coming out and they're, you know, you're seeing Tannehill looking good and Hopkins continue to look the part, Treylon Burks continue to look the part, Christian Fulton, if you missed that interview yesterday, was very, very good. Kind of talked about this is, he said something yesterday that I almost ran off the road, that it hit me so hard. Of that, this is the first time in his career that he's come into a camp healthy, that he's just felt like he can focus on what he needs to focus on and not, you know, healing something. That his rookie year, coming off the national championship with LSU, combine stuff, you know, he was kind of banged up, but this is the first time that he hasn't felt banged up, you know, going into camp. And so if that's the case, then maybe he can take a step forward. But I digress. And actually, here was let's play that clip. Skip the Fitz one. This was Christian Fulton on injuries and his motivation in this year.
Christian Fulton is with us. He mentioned the groin injury. That's kind of been something over the past couple of years. Mm. The hamstring, groin. You've struggled to stay on the field. Mm. How has that kind of fueled you going into this season to stay healthy? Yeah. Going into a really pivotal year for your contract here in Tennessee?
It's filled me a lot because I know what I can do when I'm on the field. You know, I play really well to help the team. You know, I do my job. And it was just frustrating going through those things because I want to be out there and I couldn't be out there. So, you know, I just had to take, you know, accountability on myself on what I could do better, you know, in the off season. And, you know, just talking with the trainers, you know, and seeing what they can help me with, you know, with them implementing some things, you know, that could help me out a lot. You know, going into practice, going into games, you know, just the smallest things, you know, what I could be better at. So it's, you know, accountability on all parts, you know, that we took that approach on.
That was Christian Fulton yesterday after practice with Caroline Willie and D-Mace. And again, you know, if it all of this has to come together, but he's a key part of that. And he's gotten work. I was listening to, you know, Robbie and Rexroad break it down this morning. He's gotten against Treylon Burks, DeAndre Hopkins. He's getting the test of going up against those top two, and I think that's going to be a good thing, you know, as they move into the season. Coming up next, all three coordinators spoke earlier this morning. We're going to bring you a little bit of that. Craig Aukerman, Tim Kelly, and Shane Bowen on kind of what they're seeing out of the team so far. We'll do that next. Chase McCabe 1025-1063 The Game. And I want to tell you, Nashville Sounds Baseball back tonight, 635 on 94.9 The Fan, pregame at 620. The Sounds will take on the Durham Bulls, AAA affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. The Game Summer Ticket Tour is headed to Streetcar Taps and Garden, located at 4916 Charlotte Pike, this Thursday afternoon from 11 till 6. Be there with both midday and afternoon show. Come eat, drink, and hang, and leave with a pair of free Sounds, Preds, Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, or concert tickets. You can also get signed up for the grand prize, which is Titans tickets, Preds tickets in the 501 Club, and a two-night stay at Opryland Hotel with access to Sound Waves. Black Tie Moving delivers the Game Summer Ticket Tour. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/tour. Chase McCabe here with you in the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Earlier today, all three coordinators, Craig Aukerman, the special teams coordinator, Shane Bowen, the defensive coordinator, and Tim Kelly, the offensive coordinator, talked to the media. We're going to play a little bit of each of them, starting with Craig Aukerman, because, listen, you guys know, I'm worried about kicker. I need to know what's going on with the kicker. Here's a little bit of Craig Aukerman.
So, Craig, so early, but how are you liking the competition between Caleb and Trey?
Yeah, it's been really good. Now, obviously, in the off season, they did a really good job competing against one another. We gave them a few things each to work on, you know, during that 5 weeks off, and we think they've kind of picked up and actually even gotten any better since they've gotten here. So we'll let this competition roll out as long as it needs to, but we're excited about both of them. Yeah, I mean, we're trying a bunch of different guys right now. This is obviously a big period for us as far as putting on pads. You know, everyone kind of looks good in, you know, shorts, running around, doing their thing, catching balls. But, you know, kickoff returner, we'll put Tajay back there, Hassan, Julius Chestnut. It'll be a bunch of guys that will get that opportunity. And then punt returner, obviously Kyle Phillips, Mason Kinsey. You know, we got some guys back there that we feel pretty good about, and it was good to have both those guys, you know, with Mason and Kyle going back there and competing against each other. So we'll see how it all plans out during training camp.
In terms of Kyle, you know, what you talked about last time in terms of confidence and kind of clearing his mind last year, has that happened so far? Has there been any, you know, issues in terms of ball?
No, he's actually done a really good job. You know, it was big in the summer just to get away from things. And I know one of his big things was he was going to go out there and catch punts, you know, all the time out in the summer. So he's came back with a good level of confidence. And, you know, we'll continue to put more pressure on him during practice and then give him opportunities in the preseason to see what he can do.
When you're evaluating kickers, and it seems to be pretty close to these markers, yeah. What are you looking at beyond just he made this many kicks versus he made?
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of people just say, well, he made this amount of kicks and he should win the job. You know, we're looking at a bunch of different things. Leg strength. We're looking at how accurate the ball is, how straight it is. You know, because when you hit a straight ball, depending on wind and things like that, we want a guy who can hit a straight ball so the wind doesn't play too much of a factor in it. So there are different levels than other just making, hey, I made 90% to 88%. So we look at all those different things. Tom Quinn's done a great job with those guys right now, and he'll continue to evaluate those guys as long as myself.
Ryan obviously had a monster rookie year, set a bunch of records and stuff. What has he evolved? How has he evolved taking that jump heading into year two?
Yeah, I mean, there's things that he can always improve on, and one of the things that we were talking with him was his hang time. It's not always hitting the ball 70, 75 yards, which looks pretty, by the way, but we also need some hang time. So he's really tried to focus in on that. And, you know, depending on where we're at on the field, it could be a ball that goes 70 yards, but he's got to know the situation that we're in where we could want a ball that's 50 yards with over 5 second hang time. So he's really honed in on that, and he'll continue to improve, because the best part about Ryan is he's never satisfied, whether it's his holding, whether it's his punting, and he'll continue to work on that. And I'm excited for him this year.
That's Craig Aukerman, special teams coordinator for the Titans, as he addressed the media earlier this morning. There's a lot of questions with special teams going into camp that they're trying to get answered, including kicker. And you know, return game, all those things. Quick report from camp. Christian Fulton comes up limping after covering DeAndre Hopkins on a deep pass down the left side. Went off the field instead of returning to the huddle. So that's not good. So hopefully everything is okay with him. Apparently Ryan Tannehill, DeAndre Hopkins, that connection continues. Fulton was back on the field, according to Paul Kaharski, for some field goal work. So that is good news there. Speaking of defense, here's defensive coordinator Shane Bowen.
There's been a lot of talk about not only just getting to the quarterback this year, but getting the ball out. Is that maybe the primary focus, at least for the defensive front this year?
Absolutely. Think a strip sack's better than sack always. 24 of the top 26 fumblers in the NFL are quarterbacks. We got to find ways to affect the game. And the front has a way they can do it. The back end has a way they can do it. The linebackers have a way they can do it. And up front, it is putting pressure on them and seeing if we can get the ball off them, right? And back end plays a role, too. They got to get them to hold it. They got to be in tight coverage, all the things that come into play. But those are opportunities we can't miss. Like, we've missed too many over the years where we've had opportunities to attack the football instead of just going for the sack at times. And we got to make sure we're making an emphasis that the ball is the issue. Like, the sacks will come, but we need to make sure we're attacking the football.
It seems like Christian Fulton is a little more consistent this camp. Have you noticed, like, anything different mentally, physically, or even that he's been more consistent? Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I think he came back ready to go. I think this is probably the best shape he's been in since he's been here. Looks stronger, looks more physical, looks in condition. I think the addition of Hopkins is huge for him too, just the competition aspect of it. Again, it's always been for Christian, and we tell him this, it's the consistency, right? Play in and play out. And to have that competition play in and play out here in practice, it requires a high level of focus, right, to be able to go out and execute and do what we're asking them to do and ultimately end up winning your one-on-one versus a guy like that. So hopefully that continues with him. He's off to a great start right now. It's a big year for him. He knows that. We know that. So hopefully it continues.
How do you coach a guy like Arden Key, whose personality seems to be on all the time?
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to coach guys like that, guys with energy, guys that bring other guys with them. Said it before, like, the great ones want to be coached. The guys with great energy, great enthusiasm, like, those are the guys that you feel like you can go to and coach at all times, right? The ones that are standoffish, quiet, to themselves, mopey at times, those are the ones that are a little bit harder to coach, right? So we embrace that. We encourage that as much as we can. And when he's in the meeting room, you see the energy, you see all that stuff. It doesn't go away, right? But there is a level of focus and intention with what we're trying to get accomplished when we're in the meeting room as well.
That was Shane Bowen, Titans defensive coordinator, talking about some of the things going on in camp. And again, they're wrapping practice up, or not wrapping it up yet, but towards the end. Let's see, couple of field goal updates. John Glennon says Wolf was good, 7 of 8, misses from 46, but does like the leg strength. So that's a one to keep a note of. And Christian Fulton looks to be fine. So that's also a good thing to put out there. And finally, the offense. Here's new offensive coordinator Tim Kelly.
Just one day in pads, how do you evaluate what you're seeing from your guys up front so far, and what's most important moving forward?
Yeah, you know, being consistent, obviously the being able to protect the quarterback and make sure that we're doing a good job getting movement in the run game. So, you know, those things will never change when we're looking at our offensive linemen and kind of, you know, what we ask for them and what we expect for them. And obviously that goes along with, you know, playing hard and being able to set the tone and bring the energy and bring the physicality that we're going to need.
On those second-year skill guys, how much more comfortable do they look just at not being their rookie year and kind of understanding the pace that you guys go through practice and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a – and I know we've talked about this before, and really at every position there's a learning curve from coming from college and playing in the NFL, from what it takes, you know, what it means to be in shape to be able to make it through an NFL practice – from what it means to actually, you know, learn the playbook and know what your job is and things along those lines. So all those guys from Malik to Kyle to Traylon to Chig, like they've all done a good job. Obviously learning the lessons from last year and coming out and performing, you know, pretty well for us so far.
We talk about the passing game so much, but how important is it for you to stick to the fact that Derrick Henry has been the focal point of this offense, you know, over the last 5 or so years?
Yeah, it'd be, you know, foolish of me to not play to our strengths, you know what I mean? And obviously having Derrick here, we got to make sure that we're putting him in the best spot to be able to continue to have the high level of success that he's had throughout his career. So, you know, that's something that we're working on as a staff, and that's something that we're not going to forget is understanding who we are and kind of what the backbone is of our identity.
That was a little bit of Tim Kelly earlier this morning, the offensive coordinator for the Titans. Wanted to bring you some of that as all three talked. And again, our training camp coverage as Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace are going to be out there here in just a few minutes is presented by the Simmons Bank Open, Permanent Energy, and Cottle Vet Clinic. So appreciate them being on board with that. Coming up next, we'll react to some of those things from the coordinators, put a bow on things. Again, Tierra Tart going to join Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace today here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
You view things from a national perspective, but also Nashville. We claim you for sure. What is kind of your thoughts on the Titans now that they've added DeAndre Hopkins? They still have Henry, Ryan Tannehill going into this season. How do you view them?
I think the national media hasn't watched any Titans football. I said this even when I worked for ESPN, so it's not post-ESPN. I think some of the takes on the Titans right now are just absolute hot garbage. They are always a competitive football team. They lost some games last year down to the wire that I think they should have won. I know everybody's sold on the Jags. Here's the thing to me. You got to win the South to make the playoffs. I don't think there's going to be a wild card spot available in this division. So you got to win the division. But DeAndre Hopkins is a huge addition. I still think that Ryan Tannehill is a good enough quarterback to win these sorts of games. To me, they pattern in as a 9-8 sort of team. Can that get them the division? It's going to depend on what happens with the Jags. But one or two things break the right way for the Titans. They win the division. I would be stunned if the Titans end up where everybody keeps saying they will, which is in the bottom third of the NFL this year. There's too many players on the roster that are too good. The coach is too good. The system is too good. They are too competitive as a team. I think they're a heck of a lot closer to winning their division than they are to being in the basement of the league where ESPN constantly projects them.
That was Jason Fitz yesterday on our show. Appreciate him for joining us. Titans practice wrapping up here soon. And again, Tierra Tart will join Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. So looking forward to that conversation. As I've decided we're going to have to get a sound effect for this. So Jamarco Jones and Jeffrey Simmons got into it a little bit. A little shoving match is how it was described on Twitter. And I know Derek's out there and Caroline's out there, so maybe they can talk about it a little bit more. But both were sentenced to the sand pit of doom. That's what we're going to call it now, the sand pit of doom. As Mike Vrabel talked about earlier of, you know, setting the tone. And if you miss it, this was – can we get that Mike Vrabel's comments? Jill Jelinek asked the question yesterday about just not wanting fights in practice and kind of sending the message, so to speak.
Players mentioned that they didn't want to get in any scruffs or fights because they'll be sent straight to the sand pit. Is that something you kind of addressed ahead of time, and did you like that battle?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's lazy. I think it's, you know, that's dumb that hurts the team. You know, you get thrown out of a game, and so you throw a punch in the game, they're going to throw you out of the game. New York's going to review it, I mean, they're going to remove you from the game. So we might as well practice those things now, you know, and try to make it an emphasis that go as hard as you want. Don't throw a punch. Don't be the second guy. They're going to see the second guy retaliate and be a 15-yard penalty. So you might as well practice the way we're hopefully going to play.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday. And look, I like it. Send the message. You know, have a little tenacity too. Jeffrey Simmons isn't, you know, going to put up with anything, and he's gonna dish it out. He's gonna bring that juice, so to speak. And you know, if he ends up getting some extra work in the sand pit of doom, then that's what it is. But so Jamarco Jones, Jeffrey Simmons in the sand pit of doom today. I feel like we can have this effect with my voice, and it's like deeper, and it's got an echo, and like a dun dun dun. It's like Darth Vrabel.
Exactly, Darth Vrabel.
Sentencing them to the sandpit of doom cracks me up, but I'm fine on that. Texture asks, is there an update on Farley? Is he practicing? He is not. He's on the pup list, physically unable to perform. I went on a show yesterday and, you know, was talking about the secondary, and I mentioned Caleb Farley, and I'm like, I don't know if we'll ever see him in a Titans uniform again. And I thought about that later. I'm like, do I truly think that? I think I do. I mean, I just don't know. Like, I just don't even feel like he's on the team. You know, he's barely played. He's been hurt. He was hurt when they drafted him. You know, I think it's going to turn out to just be a wasted pick. And a lot of people thought it was going to be a wasted pick. You know, that's why teams passed on him. But no, he's not. He is not practicing.
That type of pick for me in a draft reminds me of like fantasy drafts where you just reach him for a guy. Like, for example, I had my fantasy draft this past weekend, and everybody's telling me the running back out of Texas A&M, the speedy Devon, I believe his last name is Akeney, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, I drafted him as my 10th overall pick in the first round, and people are like, that's a stretch. Kind of same thing here with Caleb Farley, possibly.
Yeah, by the way, so we always joke in sports radio, like when you mention your fantasy team, and I'm not picking on you, this is what a lot of people do, that you mention your fantasy team, and it's like nobody cares about your fantasy team. You know, it's just – but everybody has one. I think I've decided that I'm not going to do fantasy football this year.
What?
Because I focus – like on Sundays, I don't pay attention to it because I'm paying attention to my bets. Like I would rather focus – because I love touchdown props. You know, so I'd rather focus on doing that and, you know, the games I have or parlays I have and – you know, I'd just rather that have my focus than my fantasy team, because I hardly ever win, you know, at fantasy or finish in the money. And I got to a point where I had like four teams and it was just way too much and it was just exhausting. And then last year, I think I only did one and I barely paid attention to that one. And I'm like, you know, why even waste the time? I'll take that $20 and put it on a game, you know, or whatever. It is.
That's valid.
I've been in some leagues where it's more than that, but it's like I'm just meh. You know, I just don't care about it as much anymore. I mean, we'll talk about it. I mean, there's a lot of you that still do, but
right.
You know, we'll talk about it. But I was thinking about this yesterday. I'm like, you know, I just don't think I'm going to do it anymore. Just meh. I haven't told like my friends that, so they're here. They might be hearing this going, really? Well, you didn't tell us that, so. Because I'll tell you another thing, too. A few years ago, I ran a league. I will never do that again.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Never do that again, because you got to chase people down to pay, and then people don't pay. And then, you know, when somebody wins, you got to pay. And it's just like, I'm not doing that anymore. So, yeah. Easton Freeze says, Will Levis back out with the twos? So Levis getting some work with the second team. First play, a pass across the middle to Racy McMath, identical to his first pass to Mason Kinsey that was dropped earlier. Completion for a nice gain. So Levis getting some work with the twos. That was off play action too. Then he hands off to Spears. Deep completion to Roberson. Back corner to Roberson for a touchdown. So looks like Will Levis having another nice day at training camp. Terry McCormick says Levis looks good in his first work with the twos. Touchdown pass to Reggie Roberson. So it took until today, about a week into camp, for him to start getting work with the second team. I mean, I want to see, you know, him and Willis trade reps. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Trade those opportunities. I can't wait for preseason, though. Like, I am pumped for the first preseason game because I just want to see the quarterbacks. I want to see those two rotate. You know, when they open up their preseason at Chicago, which will be on the 12th. It's funny, I'll be in Chicago this weekend. I'm doing Cubs Braves at Wrigley, but going to miss it by a week when the Titans go to Soldier Field. So a 12 o'clock kickoff on Saturday the 12th, and we'll see a lot of Will Levis and a lot of Malik Willis and probably none of Ryan Tannehill.
Exactly. You know, talking back about the Levis taking reps with the second team today. Yeah, I feel like you're going to see a lot of that throughout training camp and obviously throughout the preseason. I mean, if you've listened to all the pressers today, all these coordinators and coaches have all just harped on competition and confidence and growth. And throughout confidence, you're going to get growth if you have to do one of those two things. So you're going to see a lot of fluctuation between the twos and the threes, between Levis and Willis. Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't either. 615-737-1025, that's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHonda.com. Texter Chris from McEwen says, to hell with fantasy football, be a man. Okay.
Thanks for the confident words.
Yeah, there you go. Chris is also the same guy that I guess earlier this morning texted twice, Titans suck, sell and move the team, waste the money. Okay. Well,
we're not Oakland Athletics.
I'm gonna respectfully disagree with you, Chris, but that's fine. Must not be not a football fan. Is that what it is?
Sounds like it.
How does playing fantasy football not make you a man? I don't understand that.
I just feel like it's a good way to pass some leisurely time in your spare time. That's kind of what I'm looking at it as.
Yeah, for sure. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, have you ever been in a league that has like a belt or something? There's some sort of ring involved?
No, and I thought about that with the one I ran and then, you know, was so just like, I never want to do this again that it never got to that point. But I know people that have that, you know, they trade the belt around every year. But
yeah.
And put like a
little plaque or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. My buddy is doing that in one of his other leagues. I'm like, really? So he actually invested in it. So he's a big, you know, league watcher, that TV show on Hulu. So he's trying to invest into something like that.
That is going to do it for us. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, though, they are on deck. Willie with the rest of the week off. He is on vacation. So Caroline and D-Mace live today at training camp. They'll be joined by Tier Tart as he'll talk about today's practice. Sounds like it's been a little spirited today as the sand pit of doom came into play a couple of times. We'll be back at it 9 o'clock tomorrow, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.